Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. How many of y'all mad the devil stole an hour from us last night? Can I get an amen for this congregation? The devil's a liar. Stole from me. Now, I like this time better where it gets dark later. I don't know if, how many of y'all like this one better? Y'all like this one better? Yeah. How many of y'all like the other one better? Lord, it's, okay, we're praying for y'all. Y'all don't know what's up. I like it, you know, I guess you could do more stuff outside, you know, later. I like this season better, but I don't like the spring forward day. How many of you forgot last night? You go, dear Lord, some of you think you're at the 8 a.m. service. You're not. You're at the 9:30. Oh, my God, I didn't even know. And so great to see you this morning. I think we ought to change it. Where it just stays the same. I heard one of the other states, Arizona or some one of them other states did that. I go, why can't we do that? We Louisiana. I'm mad. So, hey, and then, of course, we've got coronavirus going along. And I'm going to encourage you just a little bit today. And in fact, I don't know, how many of y'all have heard of the coronavirus? Some of you have had the corona virus for a long time. I know who you are. Some of you go, not me. I'm the Dos Equis virus. So let's... I just want to remind you of a couple of things, right? If you came in today and you're just a little bit fearful, we are kind of fist bumping and kicking instead of handshaking, and that's good. You know, but I just want to remind you of a few things. In 2001, anthrax was going to kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus was going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. 2005, bird flu. 2006, E. coli. 2008, the financial collapse was going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu was going to kill us all. 2012, the Mayan calendar predicted the world ending and we were all going to die. 2013, North Korea was going to cause World War III and we were all going to die. 2014, the Ebola virus was going to kill us all. 2015, ISIS was going to kill us all. 2016, Zika virus was going to kill us all. And now in 2020, the coronavirus is going to kill us all. The truth is, nothing but fear is killing us all. So, you might want to turn off the TV, pray, trust God, and wash your hands like you just got finished eating crawfish. How many of y'all have ever eaten crawfish and you went, I better do it again? just do that, and I think we're going to be all right. So today, you know, just take a little extra time. Somebody in the back, I think it was Ricky, told me, he said, you're supposed to do the alphabet. You know, wash your hands, go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know, that's how long you're supposed to do it. And so I hadn't done the alphabet in so long. I tried it at home. I got down to Q, and I went, what's left? I forget. And so I want to encourage you just to pray. Don't be fearful. Be faithful. Be faithful. And let's continue with the mission that God has given us. And let's do that today. Amen? I want to talk to you today. I want to do a part two of last week. We're kind of in between series. And last week I said, let's just have a family meeting. And so if you're a guest with us today, I'm Pastor Eugene. I'm the lead pastor here at this campus. And we're so grateful that you're here on behalf of Heidi and I and our entire team. We welcome you. But today you're just kind of getting to peer in to a meeting that's going on between Pastor Yu and the church. And this may be good for you. Maybe if you're here kicking the tires, we welcome you today. We're so glad. We hope you find a church that maybe God's sending you here. If he's not, we're okay with that too. There's a lot of great churches. And we just want you to find your place in the body of Christ. And we're all on the same team. We're not in competition with other churches. Those are our brothers and sisters, and we bless them. And but I want you get a chance just to kind of peer in. When I say family meeting, what I mean is, back when our children were young and going through teenage years, when things kind of got off kilter a little bit, and if you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Mamas just know, we need to get everything back in. We got to get things back in order. Everybody's kind of slipping a little bit. And you don't mean to, It just does. You kind of drift a little. And so I'm just bringing the church family. We're just having a family meeting. Is that all right? I'm going to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we're just going to have a little family meeting. So I'm kind of doing part two. And but not only is it a family, I'm just kind of reminding you of the mission that we're on, the vision that we have, so that vision leaks. It leaks. You can get filled up, and then it slowly leaks out, and just kind of reminding everybody, kind of getting everybody. I can remember some of our old family meetings, you know, Heidi would go, and don't forget, we do make our beds. Okay, Mom. You know, whatever it was a little family meeting. So today's one of those where we just kind of bring you back together. I have a big concern with our community. And you're hearing a lot. You're hearing a lot of stories and things and news. And it's not just in Opelousas, it's in this parish, which I think God has kind of put us in the field to work. This is our field that we're supposed to work on his behalf. And I have some concerns. I have concerns from what I would call a lack of community in our community. And what does that mean? Well, that means we used to connect with people. We would connect around things. And I can give you some examples of things that used to exist around here that don't exist anymore. There were things like Yambali. How many of you ever went to a Yambali festival? Yeah, okay, all right. And so there's things like that that communities used to come and they would connect around. And then now those things go to the wayside and we no longer connect around them. Things have moved from in person to online. And so now you don't, Heidi and I were talking about the other day, we walked to a store the other day. I go, this is the first time we've walked through a store in a long time. I mean, normally you sit on your couch in your pajamas eating Cheetos, ordering off of Amazon. I'm talking to some of you. You know, we're losing the personal connections. And though social media has its positives, it also has its negatives where it's almost pseudo. We think we're connecting, but we're really not. You think it's there. In other words, you have many friends, but few friendships. And you're putting things in. And one of the dangers of social media, this is one of the negatives of it. Again, I'm not anti. But here's one of the negatives of it. You end up liking and being a part of a community online of people who look like you, think like you, talk like you, agree with you, and act like you. There's a word for it. It's called tribalism. That we end up now forming tribes of people who only look, act, talk, and think just like we think. And then no one else is able to get inside of that circle, which only doesn't bring us together. It actually does just the opposite. It actually causes divisions among us. And so you have to, and so if you've got that, and then you've got a community like ours that has been trending down to the left instead of trending up and to the right for many years, then you go, wait, what do we do? Part of the reason that we wanted to build a church here. And I want to remind you, church, we didn't build a church to build a building. In fact, we didn't want to build a temple. We wanted to build a well. We wanted to build a place where people came so not only they can hear God, but they can start connecting with one another. Let me tell you some of the things we want to do. I need you to pray. Promise me you'll pray. Promise. Probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm going to be visiting with a gentleman that's going to help us develop this back outdoor area. We're talking about a lake. We're talking about walking trails. We're talking about picnic tables. We're talking about an outdoor kitchen, tables and chairs, a deck that overlooks the lake. We're talking about here. So watch this, because we really would like to in the future. And I know some of you will be a part of this ministry. You'll want to do it. Part of the ministry is that we would serve lunch after church. I know you're hungry, ain't you? I'm speaking South Louisiana's language, ain't I? There's no calories in it or anything. It's holy food. But how many go, you know what? What if we came to the well, not the temple, but the well to get a drink, and you got living water, you got the word of God, and then you were able to connect with friends and new friends, friendships to build around a meal that you could stay and fellowship and connect with one another and start building community. I'm giving you four thoughts today. Number one, this is number one, by the way, I forgot to tell you. Number one, I'm calling it, we have to fill the void. There is a void and you have to fill it. Now, everybody look right here because I want to talk to you because I know there's some of you in the room, you're going, friendships, that would be nice and that's what I need. I'm talking about a community that is void. And so I want to help you because you can listen to what I'm saying and go, yeah, that's me. But I want to tell you something. How many of you have ever seen like an extension cord? You know, on the extension cord, there's two different ends. There's the end that plugs in, and then there's the end that receives. So there's an end that gives and an end that receives. There's a giver end and there's a receiver end. And so if here's what I want you to see. If you need a friend, don't say, I need one. I want you to start looking to be one. Because if you become the giver, not only are you going to be blessed because you're the giver, but you're also going to receive back whatever you give. The scripture says, whatever you sow, you'll also reap. So I'm telling you, church, we have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to feel the void of the disconnection that are people that are walking through our doors. They're here today. They may even be here today thinking they came to look for God and maybe they weren't going to find God, but that's not all they need. They need to start connecting with brothers and sisters who can help them on this journey walk that way. Are y'all tracking with me? Let me give it a different way. Pastor Jacob and I have had this mentor-mentoree relationship for 30 years. A spiritual father to a spiritual son. In the early days, 30 years ago, it kind of looked like this. Pastor Jacob would say, hey, let me tell you what you need to do next. And I'd go, okay, and I'd do it. Hey, you need to read this book, and I'd get it. And he'd call me and say, hey, I was just thinking about you. I really feel like the Lord wanted me to share this with you. And he'd share it. I would be encouraged by it. And so it took a real responsibility in my life. And he took that role to help me so that I could become better. He was giving. He was the giver end. And so Heidi, through the years, was always jealous is not a good word because she's not a jealous person. Maybe she just desired it in her own life. And she would say to me, she'd verbalize it. She'd say, that's great. But how come there's no women like that for me? When I do my Heidi voice, she always tells me, I don't talk like that. So it was like this, she'd go, how come there ain't no girls like that for me? Something like that. So I'd come home excited. I'd spend a couple days with Pastor Jacob. I'd come over to Lafayette, spend a couple days with him. I'd go back home to Houston. And I'd say, oh, Pastor Jacob said we need it. And then Pastor Jacob said. And she was never excited about it. And I go, baby, why aren't you excited about this? Well, I'm just wondering, how come there's nobody like that for me? For me. Me. And then one day, by the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to do this in the flesh, because you'll get in trouble. But by the Holy Spirit, I said, baby, can I tell you something? It's time for you to quit looking for that woman. And it's time for you to become that woman. Quit looking. And if you'll become that, because there's a lot of girls that are following you that have the same need. And why don't you become the mama in their life? And if you'll become the mama in their life, then God will provide the mamas for you. And she took it from that day. She said, that's the Lord. I said, whew, thank God. And from that day on, she became a mama, a spiritual mama to those young girls around her. And God has added to her everything that was missing in her life and more. What am I saying to you? Church, we're here to fill a void. There is a void in our community, of community. Part of our responsibility is to fill that void. Are you hearing me today? I'm going to help you just a little bit. Let me go ahead and just move along. Let me give you And let me give you number two. I'm asking you, family, we've gotten a little bit selfish. And I'm asking you to, number two, to embrace selflessness, to be selfless, to think of yourself less. Say this with me. It's not about me. We live in a very narcissistic culture where it's all about. We only show our highlight reels on our social media. I'm checking in at McDonald's. I don't care. We don't care where you're checking in at. We know you don't put the low lights on there. You only put the highlights. It's not even reality. You ain't that good. You are not. Your life is not as good as your Instagram post is. Can I get an amen? And so we have a narcissistic culture in our culture. Look at me right here. Look at me. It can slip into the church where you start thinking about you and your needs. Listen to me. I'm talking to the church. If you're a guest here, you're off scot-free. I'm not even talking to you. I want you to see this, that we can embrace it. A life devoted to the kingdom of God, a life devoted to the kingdom of God in a world that is devoted to the kingdom of self, you will be like a light in the middle of darkness. You will stand out. People will recognize and see. As our culture gets darker, the more your light shines. I'll help you in just a moment. And I want you to see that. See, the church has become just as guilty as the culture when it comes to narcissism. Devoted to ourselves. We can get obsessed with ourselves. We can say things like, my ministry, my calling, my walk with God, look at me right here. Christianity is a team sport. It is not an individual sport. I know we sit in rows today and you face forward and you hear me, but that's not the best way to walk it out. The best way to walk it out is sitting in circles with a team and some friendships of people that are walking the same way. Are you with me? And so I want to just show you, if I can just help you, this is embracing selflessness. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. I'm going to read it out of the message. And when I get to the highlights, I'll pause. You say them with me. Verse 24. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. And he says, anyone who intends to come with me. Can we just push pause for a second? Is that your intentions? Is your intentions to be a follower of Jesus? Not a follower of OSC, but to be a follower of Jesus. Is that your intentions? Watch what he says. Anyone who intends to come with me has to. In other words, he is the new boss. He's the new leader. This is about following him, not following you, asking him to bless what you want to do. Are y'all hearing me? And so he's saying, well, what he goes on to say, let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from the suffering. Safety. Embrace it. Follow me and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Look at me, I don't wanna get on a soapbox, I'm a little bit, there are all kinds of great help tools out there. We use some of them. DISC test, your personality profile, spiritual gift testing, we use that. There's a new one out that's called Enneagram. Any of you have done your Enneagram? Anybody here done it? Okay, we got a few have done it. I've done it as well. And so you've done that. Let me tell you what I think is happening in Christianity. We gotta be very careful of. We're all self-defining. We're all determining who we are. Everybody look right here. You are the creation. If you really want to know what your purpose is, you have to go back to the creator of the creation. The creation doesn't declare its purpose. The creator declares its purpose. You were created by God, put here at a certain time in history as this, to live in a community like this one. He knew exactly where you were going to be. He knew exactly the problems our community was going to have. And is it possible that he just wanted to bring us together to be the solution to the community in which we live? Amen? Self-help's not the way at all. In fact, he goes, self-sacrifice is the way, my way to finding yourself, your true self. In other words, some other translations say it this way. If you want to find your life, and you do, what am I here for? If you want to find your life, Jesus said what? You got to lose it. You got to say it's no longer about me. It's about him. And as long as I make it about him, and I just his family here, I don't know if they're here today. They were in the earlier service, I know for sure. And I asked this family, I said, can I share your testimony? And this is their testimony. He called me one day, the husband, and just said, hey, tell me about your church. I heard you had a church. This is back in Civic Center days. And I said, we're going to tear down pride, prejudice, and poverty. We don't care if it's R, D, or I. As long as we're under the banner of Jesus, you're my brother, you're my sister. We're going to tear down black, white, rich, poor. I just gave my spiel. And he goes, I'm in. He goes, my wife ain't in. She ain't coming with me. I said, why not? Well, she goes to another church and she's been there and I go half the time. I'm just not me. I'm just not into it. She's not really into it either, but she has told me I was born this way, I'll die this way. And I said, well, who's the leader? He said, well, I am. Well, I'll see you on Sunday then. I said, you just keep coming. If she sees the change in you, she will come to see what you're drinking. So he did. Civic Center days, y'all might remember the door was right there, and that was the back of the church, the floor right down here, the floor. That was like the back of the church. So you could slip in and slip out real quick right there. If you sat back there, you were like, boop, boop, you in, out. You didn't have to shake my hand or nothing. And that's where we would sit. And so I'd see him back there. I could tell he was getting engaged and started coming to some of the men's Bible studies and things. And then all of a sudden, boop, I see this woman sitting beside him. I said, well, that better be his wife. So, of course, it was. And so I'd run because they'd try to get out real quick. She'd want to leave real quick. So, you know, back in those days, I always pray and I could walk off stage. Y'all could still hear me, right? And now may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. And I would get out there before they would leave because they would, you know, everybody praying. And then I would get out there and I'd grab her and she'd go, I said, well, what do you think? And I asked her, what do you think? She goes, well, it's all right. I could tell she didn't want none of me, right? I said, well, we're so glad you came. We're just glad you're here. And she goes, this ain't my church. I got a church. And I said, well, that's fine. In fact, I'm going to my church right now. Double dipper. And she would. And so she kept slipping in. Every once in a while, I started seeing her more and more and more and more. And then one day, I just grabbed her and I said, hey, listen, we've got our single mama's banquet coming up. Would y'all mind hosting a table? I mean, y'all are from here. Y'all know a lot of these girls. Y'all would be awesome at hosting a table. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we can. This ain't my church. And so they hosted a table. We had a great night. And man, at the end, we're outside hugging all the girls goodbye. And I hear her. Mm-hmm, that was awesome. That's why I love my church. I love my church. And I said, excuse me? Well, I love it now. This is my church now. That couple went from leading that table that night to joining a small group. From joining a small group to one day leading a small group. And then one day leading the small group, I can remember when we started our freedom groups, we asked them, would they take their group through as a pilot group before we went public with it? And they did, and fell in love with helping set people free. And then they started launching freedom groups. And then from launching freedom groups, I asked them, would they take a responsibility with part of our dream team? And they did. And then not only did that, so I saw this passion on them to helping people walk through hurts, habits, and hangups. I would send couples to them that needed counseling, and they started counseling. He goes, you know what? I'm going to, Pastor, you, I think I want to be a counselor. And so he went back to college. In fact, he had a job that he called me about, said, I don't like my job. It's boring. I get my work done in 2 hours. And he said, I have to drive to work. And it's just, and find out. He started going back to school and getting his counseling degree, that the job that he didn't like, because he got his job done real quick early in the day, meant that he could take the rest of the day and sit at his desk and do all of his studies. In other words, they were paying him to go to school. I said, bro, you got a full ride scholarship. The job you hated, now is the job you love, because now you get to go study all day about the ministry that God's going to use him. So Heidi and I, we saw that we went to a ministry called RTF. I said, they would be awesome at this. A week, it's like Freedom Retreat on steroids. And Heidi and I went and were ministered to, and I said, y'all would be incredible. We sent them, they get ministered to, they come back. Now they're in the training. He's about to get his doctorate's degree in Christian counseling. And you're just watching all of this take place and unfold. What's the point? Look at me. The purpose and will of God is not as mystical as you think it is. All you have to do is say yes to the next thing God asks of you. Do you think they thought one day we'd be counseling and getting doctorates, degrees, and freedom of hurts, habits, and hangups the day that he sat back there? And I said, would you mind leading a table at a single mother's banquet? Yes. Would you come to our small group? Yes. Would you lead a small group? Yes. Would you help us with a freedom group? Yes. God whispered, time to go back to school. Yes. Would you go to RTF? Yes. Are y'all following the progression? The scripture says about the word of God, it is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. In other words, you can't see way in the future. All you get to see is the next step. If you just keep saying yes to God, yes to God, yes to God, yes to God, one day we'll all look at you and go, it must be God. Are y'all tracking with me? Get out of your head. We have a community that's dying, and all it's looking for is people who will say yes. Stay focused. Let me give you number three. I'm calling it deal hope. You heard of deal and dope? No. We're going to deal hope. No dope dealers here. Just hope dealers. What am I saying to you? I think when you live in a community as we live, it's got a lot of negatives to it, but there's some positives in there too. And the newspaper's only going to show you the negative. It's not going to show you the positive. Somebody's got to speak life over the community in which we live. You ought to be the most faith-filled attitudes, best attitudes of anybody in our entire community. You ought to speak life. The scripture says power and death are in the life of the tongue, and you will eat the fruit of the words that you speak. You ought to be speaking life over our community. We need it now more than ever. And someone said, I think Josh mentioned this morning, but we've said it many times, if it ain't done yet, then God ain't through yet. If we're not there, he put us here to be the light on a hill to a community that desperately needs it. And I'm going to give you number four, and Victor's going to help me. Let me give you number four. We have to make the mission has to become your mission. What does that mean? How do we make the mission your mission? What mission are we on? I think it's interesting that Jesus is going to visit his disciples, and he's going to give them one last word. How many of you know the last thing that Jesus is going to say to his disciples is going to be very important? He's about to leave. He's exiting the building. And he's going to tell them something. And this is what he said to them. I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to make disciples of all nations. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I've commanded you, I want you to teach them. That's what I want you to do. How many know if that's the last thing that Jesus said to us, it might be the first thing he asks about when we see him again? Last thing he said might be the first thing you ask about. Now look right here. Pastor in front of my name doesn't mean, well, that's Pastor Yu's responsibility. No, no, no. This is every believer's responsibility to go into the world and make disciples. Now what? Mark's going to say it a different way. He's actually quoting the very same verse. This is from Mark's perspective, and I want to show it to you. I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And he said to them, I want you to go all into all the world and let me say it again. Go into all the world and what? To all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those. Now, by the way, let's help you with the preaching the gospel part. Because some of you would go, I'm not a preacher. That means we're supposed to go out into the world out there and preach the gospel out there. Preach the gospel. I'm not a preacher. Look at me right here. Some of the best sermons I've ever heard in my life. Some of the best and loudest sermons I have ever heard have not been with my ears, but with my eyes. When I saw someone living out the gospel in a world that was very difficult to live it out, they preached a very loud sermon to me. What am I saying to you? Well, if I was translating this verse, if I went back to the top again, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and live the gospel. Live it. Live it. Live it. Live it. Where they see how your husband, how you treat your wife out there will be convicting to the world that's looking for reality. The way your children behave. What? The way when you are at the office and you could have fudged, but you are a man or a woman of integrity. And you said, I can't do that. That's not right. You'll stand out like a beacon shining light in the darkness. And people will come and ask you. They'll come. They will come to you and say, you're different. What is it about you? In fact, the scripture says, be prepared to give an answer when people come to you and ask you, what is the hope that you have? And you can say, well, since you ask, Jesus. And I go to a church and they're going to say, really, what church? You can say, Our Savior's Church. And you can say, Pastor, you is awesome. Is that what you're going to say? You going to say that? And you're going to say, man, it's just real. It's real life. It's real. It's where we're at. Man, I want to invite you to come. Look, you don't have to go preach it. You just go live it. And if you live it, you'll be preaching better than any sermon I've ever preached to you. It'll be louder than any message I've ever given you. I promise you. Watch what he says. And there'll be signs that will come with it. You'll see these things happening. Watch, he said, in my name, you're going to see they're going to drive out demons. You'll see they'll begin to speak in new tongues. We won't get into the tongues thing, but I will say some of you are now speaking new tongues. You ain't using some of the old language you used to use. How many of you still slip every once in a while? Okay, watch this. Pick up snakes. In fact, they will drink deadly poison. It won't hurt them at all. In fact, when the coronavirus comes, they'll place their hands on the sick and they'll get well. One day we were playing when I was quit playing baseball back in the day. You know, when athletes quit their, you know, there's an expiration date on every athlete. And then when you quit playing, then I started picking up softball, men's softball. Right? So I was in New Orleans and I was playing on a team, and that team, you play as a team. This other guy says, I got a team that plays in the whatever, the highest division. Would you come play? And so one day I told this guy, yeah, I'll come play with you. So, you know, you're playing on multiple teams, and I get on this high level softball thing, you know. And were playing one day, and it was my first game. I'd never even been to this park, go to the park, meet the guy, and don't even know my teammates or anything. And they said, well, thank y'all for being here. Don't forget, this is a beer league. Do anybody know what a beer league is? Well, here's a beer league. I didn't know what it was either. Here's the deal, is not only are you going to play the game and they're going to keep score, but at the concession stand, they have every team's name up there. And if you buy a beer, they give you a point. And the object is to win on the field and at the concession stand, which is a science, by the way. Because if you drink too much beer, you're going to lose out there, right? So the guys encourage us, don't forget, get a beer. Well, I'm a pastor and I don't drink. I was like, I can't help y'all there. I'll try to help y'all on the field, but I can't help y'all there. And we're playing a team. And I don't know who this pitcher is. I've only seen him one time in my life, and it was that night. And he was the cockiest, most arrogant person I've ever met. And he would be on the, he'd pitch the softball and be talking trash to you while the ball is in the air. You're up there and he's talking, you ain't got what you're doing, bitch. So I'm thinking, you know what? This bat's getting kind of loose in my hand. I think if I swing and let go, it could go over his head. Guys on my team were like, when we shake hands at the end, I'm punching him in the face. No, seriously. And I'm going, well, I'll hold him down. In Jesus' name. I did not, this dude, I'm boiling so mad at this guy. Through the whole game. So after the game's over, you know, there's that line, I'm last and he's last. And so everybody's shaking, good game, good game, good game, good game. And hearing good game. And I'm watching, good game, good game, good game. Oh, here he comes. I'm fixing to tell him something. I'm fixing to tell him who he is and what he is. And we're going to get this straight before we leave right here. Uh-huh. And when we're shaking hands like that, shaking hands, he grabs my hand and pulls me out of the line. He goes, I need to talk to you. I was like, we're about to get it on right here. He pulls me out and he goes, are you a Christian? How many of you know everything you was just thinking? I release that devil. So, well, yes, I am. And he goes, I knew it. I knew it. Now tears are coming to his eyes. And he goes, I am a backslidden man. I'm far from God. And I knew it. I knew it. I saw the way you handled yourself, and I knew you were a believer. Would you please pray for me? So listen, they're watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you. And if you live any of this gospel out there, you'll be like a beacon in a world that is dark. And you're the hope, not you, but the hope that you have is the hope they're looking for. You have a responsibility in our community for us to be on mission to seek and save that which is lost, to leave these doors today and to start preaching the gospel out there, living the gospel. And if we'll live it, then people will be attracted to it, and we can lead them to the one that they need that can also do the same in their own life. Do y'all receive this word today? Listen, just a family meeting, just to get us back on course again. And I want you to lift your hands like this. Father, we hear you. Would you whisper that to him? Father, I hear you. I'm supposed to live on a mission. It's not about more money. It's not about more prestige. It's about the doors that you will open so that I could represent you. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that this seed of a word would go into each of our hearts, that we would take on the responsibility that you have given us to go into this world as we leave today, we step out into a harvest field and to be the light and the example that we're supposed to be. And to be ready when people do ask us, what's the hope we have? That we'll be able to lead people back to you. And we receive this word from you and this mandate in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and eye closed, and may you might be here today and your next step. That couple I mentioned was Tim and Tamika Caron. They just kept saying yes. And maybe today you need to say yes to this question. Are you ready to be born again? You see, the truth is we've all broken the law of God, the Ten Commandments. We're all guilty. And because it's the greatest law of all, it has the greatest penalty of all. That means one day when we die, we'll have to pay the penalty. What is the penalty? The penalty is hell. It's a real place, and people really go there. Then what's the good news? The good news is, it's the reason why Jesus came and lived a sinless life. He did not break any of those commandments. He kept them all. And so when he died on the cross, he was actually being the penalty payer to pay your penalty and mine. You have to access that penalty. You have to access the payment. And you go, how do I access it? By giving your life to Jesus. Jesus called it being born again. Maybe today that's your next step. Would you say yes? How do you do it, Pastor Yu? It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. That's where it begins. You have to admit it. Not, I haven't been that bad. No, you have to admit it. I deserve it. I deserve it. I've broken the law of God. Admit it. B, believe that Christ came to be your penalty payer, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame, and to forgive you of all of it, to wipe it clean, no longer held against you. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. Give him the driver's seat. Make him God. Make him boss. Make him Lord. If that's you today and you're here and you're ready, I want to pray with you and for you. If you go, I want to be born again, my answer is yes to the Lord. I want to pray for you right now. Would you just signify by lifting your hand up high? No one's looking but me. I just want to pray for you today. Hold it up high for a second. Thank you, sir. 1, 2, and 3. I see your hand. 4, 5, and 6, and 7, 8, and 9, and 10. 11, 12, and 13. Thank you. Thank you. 14. I'm looking. Keep hold it up high just for a second. 14, 15, 15, and 16. 16 hands this morning. Church, can we add our voice to theirs? Let's pray this out loud together. Mean this from your heart. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Just declare this. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise? Love y'all.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.